It was a real pleasure and wonderful time to be here with you. What blessed me most of all was to hear you, some of you brothers and sisters, getting up and giving what's on your heart. I know I would have been happier if more of you had done it. But I'm still feeling good about what has been done, and it's truly becoming a body. The body functions with every member. It's not just the hands that minister to the body, but every member in the body is a minister. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read the scriptures for you so that you will know that you are a minister of God. Every single member, once you become part of the head, once you're under the headship of Jesus, you are an ordained minister of God. And if you could feel that way, walk about, do your business, knowing that you are part of the function of God, it would be a marvelous understanding. Praise be to God. So I believe that God has something special to do here today. That God wants to bless you in such a way that you never forget it. Hallelujah. That you will go out with this blessing of the Lord, and that you won't ever forget the what God has done today. Praise God. And is doing. So we just submit our minds now. Remember, when we are one mind, we can have anything we want. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now. If two agree touching anything concerning the Lord Jesus, it shall be done.
Amen.
I see Jennifer smiling at me. She's got something in her heart that she wants the Lord to do. That's what I mean. I mean the Lord is going to do it today. Amen. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every person in here to be loosed from the bondage that you are in, whatever it is. This, put it out now. Put out your fleeces now in your heart, because before we are through here this evening, you will know for sure that you have received what you desire.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are not going to desire anything to consume it upon our lust. Amen. We're not going to be lusting upon anything to satisfy us, to comfort, you know, have a good time. We are now lusting after God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is the lust that is going to take us over right now. And you see, you know what I'm doing for you now. We are one. If we get to be one in our desire, it is done. That's what we're doing. All the preaching that will go on here today is to get you to understand that we must be one in God this moment. Let's kind of forget tomorrow. Let's forget yesterday. Can you forget your yesterdays? Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Whatever you did in the past is forgotten. For God said he will remove your transgressions from you as far as the east is removed from the west. He will not remember your sin anymore. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Therefore, we have no past. Amen? Let me hear that amen. We are people without a past. Amen. And praise God. Our future is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And our present is Jesus. So our present and our future is one. Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So we become one now in our desire towards God this moment. Nobody must desire a Cadillac. Nobody must desire any carnality. We are asking you right now to desire something in God, to push you on further in God. It could be a direction where to go, what to do in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to touch on a lot of things. The Spirit comes, you know. I don't know what the name of the message is, but it's touching everything. Divorce. Divorce. Had some beautiful Christian brethren that we fellowshiped for years together. We hadn't been with them for 4 or 5 years, just because somehow or the other they're in a corner and we have to be going by car to get to their place. And I called them last week, said, you know what, we have just decided that whether the plane fly to your place or not, whatever it costs us, we are going to get from the point, the nearest point to you, and we have booked our passage and we'll be coming there such and such a day. The brother said, says, I want you to know that we are divorced. Hey, I mean, I couldn't talk. I said, what? He said, we are divorced. I mean, it was too much for me to even ask him what happened. It was too much. I didn't want to hear anymore right then. There is a spirit that rules over the United States. This country in which you live is the most divorced land on earth. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care how you love your wife and your husband, that there is a spirit working against you to get you into a divorce situation. You hear me? Newly married, look out. Amen. When you overcome that spirit, you overcome the chief fallen angel, the prince of the United States. Amen.
Amen.
Men love your wives.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Love your wives under all circumstances. You hear me? I mean under all circumstances. If your beautiful, nice wife just get wretched and miserable all of a sudden and start to annoy you and eat you up, just love her. Forget yourself. This is what we're talking about. If your soul is not under God, you are in danger of being attacked. If you are still a person who can get mad, if you can't control your emotions, if you don't get on top of that self spirit within you, you are vulnerable to the divorce demon. Amen. A clean, beautiful Christian for years loved God, serving God, all of a sudden, bam, run off with a man. Leave her husband, run off with a man. It is impossible. You could never imagine it. I don't think she imagined it either. She just had a vacancy She just had an opening for the devil. She just let a spirit in, and the devils are taking the people as fast as they can. Oh, I'm a Christian. No devil can touch me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then why are you not perfect? If no devil can touch you, why are you not perfect like Jesus Christ? Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. And if you have something in you that is not God, then there is an opening for the devil. Put up a block. The block, one block, against the divorce devil is an absolute love. An absolute love for the woman. A love for the man that nothing on earth or in hell can come between and destroy you. Amen. Praise God. There, of course, you know, I'm not preaching this to you because I planned it. I had no such plan. I got a message. Amen. You see, I'm just coming off. I know the Spirit is telling you this. I know it's good. I don't want one soul from this fellowship all over the United States. I don't want to see another one get divorced. I stopped going for 5 years on people who could not be divorced. In my mind, it would never even occur to me they were split asunder by a devil walking right in and taking out the weaker vessel and destroying her. My God, could I stand up and see the devil destroy my wife? Well, I'm telling you, I would fast and pray until nothing is left in me. You'd have to take my life too. For that which is within you. Amen. Help me with that. Greater. Did you say greater? Greater than that which is in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes the things that you have, you work for it very hard. You suffer for it. And somebody comes right along and sees you with it and say, oh, how beautiful this thing is. He doesn't know how you suffer to get it. Every man who clings to his wife, every wife who clings to her husband, you pay for it. You suffer for it. Sometimes when nerves are frayed and people are, you know, uptight, somebody got to lock their mouth and don't say anything. Yes, you don't stand up on your right. Am I right? I must have my right. And what is your right when you have destroyed the other person? God wants us to learn at home. Learn at home to overcome that devil. Then you can teach the church how to do it. Hear me, brethren? No. Every young man, every young woman who is a normal, natural human being is ordained of God to be married. No amen. No amen. Yes. The only way you are ordained not to be married is if you cannot function as a married person. That is physically. You were made that way. Or you had an accident. Amen. Otherwise, Jesus says, you should look toward God for marriage. Therefore, the wrong partner, you're in trouble. Amen. So then I said, okay, brother, I just run into the church and grab the first girl that comes through the door. Amen. No, no. Not every Christian can marry to every Christian. For sometimes you would have to just endure one another. You should enjoy one another. You shouldn't have to endure one another. God is saying to you that you have to overcome inside here first before you come overcome outside. Are you understanding? If you have a temper, it is not of God. Don't talk about righteous indignation. I don't want it. I don't want any righteous indignation. Nah. Because righteous indignation is an excuse for sin. Amen. If you have anger that tear at you sometimes, it means that you need to control yourself. Do you know that if you have anger rising up in you and you control it one time, it gets less? The second time when you bite your lip and don't say anything and don't do anything, you overcome him and that devil will leave you. And the anger that you used to have will leave you. And here is a man speaking to you from experience. I'm speaking to you from experience. That anger is a devil. Have you ever watched a person who get angry? Of course, you yourself must get angry sometimes. But you don't see yourself. So you have to see somebody else. When a person gets angry, his breath starts coming short, and his nostrils dilate, and his countenance changes. His eyes. He's not looking out of his own eyes. Something else. He's looking out of his own eyes. Devil. A devil. Take you over. Momentarily. Now, the principle of God is that the more you allow God to take you over, the more your nature is changed to be like God's. The more you allow a devilish thing to work in you, the more that nature takes you over. Then some of us have God working from one end, taking over from one side, and the devil working from another side, taking over from the other side. You understand what we're talking about? It's not just anger, but other things, that some of the things we don't know. Take for instance, the tongue, slander. Very easy thing to do, to talk about somebody, to slander. You get a news and it starts burning you and you feel itching, you must tell somebody. And generally you tell the wrong people. Amen? It's a devil. It's a devil of slander that is with you. And if you have that weakness, you must get over it. Turn to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And we begin at the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I'm going to take the pencil and mark those three words. And the sin which doth so easily beset. If you look at your Bible, you will see that the us, U.S., is in italics. And that means it's not in the Bible. They put it in to give the understanding. But each person here has a sin or sins that easily beset you. Your besetting sin might not be mine. Somebody else might not be somebody else's. Therefore, we're talking about weaknesses in your nature. You have a weakness to chatting. Another person is quiet. They don't talk very much. But they have a weakness to thinking bad things. You know anybody who troubles from that? That you see, you think things in your heart. You never get to talking it, but you really think evil. It is a devil ministering to your mind. And you are going to get rid of that devil today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You never do it. You never do the wrong. But sometimes you sit down and you desire a certain pleasure, a certain wrong. You say, suppose, in your mind. We're talking about this sin that doth so easily beset us. Now, when you practice sin, it takes you over. Every time you practice sin, a demon will come and help you to practice. And some of the demons know us more than we know ourselves. The reason is that demons feed upon human beings. They have no strength. They are tormented. They can't do the things they want to do. Therefore, they try to use you to do what they want to do, and they get the satisfaction. And if you talk about hell, that's the only satisfaction that there is in hell. Am I going too far? All right. If you encourage me, I will go on a little more. Amen. Because of this situation, the satanic realm rules the people by getting the people to accept their rule. Because they can only get you to do what you want to do. Hallelujah. You will find that the people who do sports, the different sports, that every year they get greater and greater and greater, and the records are being broken more and more and more. Man is running faster, he's jumping higher. Why? Because these people give themselves to it, and spirits come and help them to do their thing. See, there's no limit to what man can do. The other day I saw a man jump 18 foot something in the pole vault. That's nothing to what they will do 5 years' time. Because man is getting more and more and more. As you give your soul to the thing, you desire it, you will become it, you will do it. You follow me? Now, I'm going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But you notice where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the negative. And praise God, I'll end up with the positive. But the capacity. You're a vessel, right? Large vessel, small vessel. You know. And whatever capacity you have, you are limited. You remember yesterday, Roderick talked about the wine skins. Why do we put new wine into new bottles? Why do we put new wine into new bottles? Thank you, brother. The new wine skin is made out of animal skin. Goat skin or cow skin or whatever, but it is made out of the skin of an animal, and your skin has a tendency to stretch. So when you put the new wine into the new bottle, a
and the wine begins to ferment and begin to expand, it stretches the new skin. But after the skin has stretched and stretched and stretched, it reaches its capacity. Can't stretch anymore. So if you take new wine and fill up that old skin, what happens? Boom! You get a bomb. It bursts. What are we talking about? We're talking about you. You have a capacity. And your capacity, if you fill your heart and your mind with A, you cannot take in B. Or you can take in so much B as the space that A leaves. Let's get more definite with it. If your heart and your mind is taken up with any endeavor in the world, could be sports, it could be anything, all the little gimmicks that the devil provides for you to play with. Amen. One time God showed me that I was playing with motorcycles and bicycles and radios and things like that. And when he rebuked the devil that was holding me with these things, the motorcycle jumped out of my bosom, out of his bosom, out of the devil's bosom. My motorcycle jumped out of the devil's bosom. You know. Some of us play with these little things. And these are the things that keep us away from God. As simple as they may seem, but devils know your nature. Why? They study you. They are with you day and night. They know your habits. They know your weaknesses, and they work on your weaknesses. And anything you love with all your heart, they come and try to help you to do it. Amen. Amen. Now, a brother or a sister then, who has this kind of besetting sin, if you encourage the besetting sin, it wipes out your gift in the Spirit. You have no place for the gifts of the Spirit. You become a dud. You're still praising God in convention. You don't dance at home. You don't dance in your fellowship, your local fellowship, but you dance at convention. I like to see the joy of God everywhere, okay? Man, I wouldn't like to see you like the Pentecostals. When the music trump up, everybody jump. I don't want to see that. I want to see a proper balance. Let's get back to the main theme. Your capacity for good is the same capacity you have for evil. You can't fill a vessel with one thing and expect to have the other. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're pushing out all devils. This is the reason why I don't like to use the word filled with the Spirit. I rather use baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because it's not everybody who is baptized is filled. And it's not that we are filled and we remain filled. But you are filled for a purpose. And when you finish that purpose, then you settle down again. And God will fill you again. So every move of the Spirit in you is to drive the devil out of you. Did I mention dancing in the Spirit? I said, Brother Dusil, how come you mentioned dancing? Why? Why did you just pick that out? You know why? Because dancing has to do with the emotions. If you practice your emotions to submit to the Holy Ghost, amen, the Holy Ghost will do something to your emotions to destroy the sin that is in it. Amen? Most of us use our emotions to sin with. Are you there? If you want to heal your emotions, let God into your emotions. Let God into your emotions. Because my problem was an emotional devil, God told me that whenever I want to get into the Spirit, I must begin to think about the cross of Jesus Christ. I had a several hour vision. You ever heard about that one? Where you go into a trance and you're with Jesus and he's teaching you. And Jesus took me through the crucifixion with him. And I went walk with him. I saw all that was done to him. I saw the suffering. And he said things to me that, you know, weren't ordinarily understanding of how he felt while he was being crucified. I saw the whole situation, and then I could relate to the crucifixion. And you know what he told me? He said, whenever you are out of the Spirit and you want to get into the Spirit, you just think of the cross and Jesus hanging on it and the blood dripping down, and it affects my emotions. Yeah, it affects my emotions so that I'm able to get right in the Spirit immediately. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember when I was a sinner. You know what I mean by when I was a sinner? I need to explain it because some people don't know what you mean. They believe you're casting a slur on those who are not saved. But when I was a sinner, it means that my thing was sinning. If I did righteousness, it would be a mistake. You hear me? When you're a Christian, it means that your thing is righteousness. If you do sin, it's a mistake. Follow me. Just the difference. You might find a place where one brother is doing one wrong and a sinner is doing the same wrong. And the sinner says, but you're no different from me. We're doing the same thing. No, there's a vast difference. One is making a mistake and one is doing his thing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So here we are then. When I was a sinner, I submitted to the emotional demon in anger, terrible anger, in all the other vices that go along with emotions. And as I submitted to that devil took more charge and more charge of me. Yes. And the devil formed the nature in me, the nature of anger, that the moment a person did me something, I could hold out for a while, and all of a sudden I felt something move across my head and I was entirely changed. I would get up very calmly and just cut his throat, just with pleasure. There was a certain amount of pleasure in this madness. You know, I'm trying to explain the madness to you that you can understand what I'm talking about. There was a pleasure in the madness. I had a capacity for the devil, and the devil just took over. And when he took over, I knew I couldn't help it anymore. A guy comes, he wants to fight me. I beg him. I say, oh, sure, don't fight me, man. You know, I don't want to fight you. I never wanted to fight. Never wanted to fight. Because when I get in that condition, I can't come back out. You see, I was in trouble. I couldn't help myself after I got to that point. So I would say, oh, sure, man, let's go have a drink. Let's not fight. Why should we fight, you know? And the guy keep pressing and pressing until he might hit me or something like that. And zoom, something gone in me. And I see a vision. I used to see visions as a sinner. I would see how to kill him. Anybody here ever had that problem? I must have been unusual, eh? I would know exactly what to do to him. Nobody ever beat me in a fight because I had a devil telling me exactly what to do. Here comes a big man running down on me, and I know exactly, I stood up very calmly and get him. And if somebody, if people don't run and hold me or something like that, he's a dead man. Okay. I turned from that when I come to Jesus Christ. Now there was a vacancy, an emptiness. Immediately an emptiness. And God began to fill. This is why Jesus visited me, to quickly fill up that gap there. And as this thing came and I began to give myself to God in fasting and prayer, the first 7 months I hardly ate one day. It was just a joy and a glory with Jesus Christ. No eating. You see? You know what started happening to me? When Jesus moved on me, I felt the move right through my head, right through, just like a quickening in my body. And if I couldn't understand the word immediately, I understood just clear as day. Hallelujah. The capacity for God. God is going to move through the same avenues, the same channel that the devil used to move through in you. You know, you have to forgive me sometimes if I jump and holler. You know, sometimes I have to really work hard not to make too much noise and go on battering. Just God for God. Shout in hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. I'm telling you all it's so that you might understand that when the brother David said, my heart and my flesh cry out, that even in your flesh there are avenues that the Spirit of God can quicken you in your body. You leap off the floor and you never intended to do it. Hallelujah. But you have to give way. Amen. You have to give way to this Spirit for God to be able to do this to you. Hallelujah. You know? Do you know why they call the fathers from England, the Pilgrim Fathers, why they call them the Quakers? Eh? They used to quake. You know that, don't you? Yeah, you look up in your history books and look up in your dictionaries and you'll find it. The Quakers used to quake and say, praise God. Praise God. They used to quake. They don't quake anymore, but they still have the name Quakers. But others are quaking. Amen. When God moves in the vessel, if you give way to God, God can take over your emotions that you can move sometimes without having done it willfully. God just move in you. Amen. 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 Sometimes I would go to somebody and my mouth start saying something and I don't know what I'm saying. Next thing it turned out that is a prophecy, some word that God wants to speak to the person. I'm just talking through my mouth. But you know what I discover? It's a dangerous mouth. Yeah. Those of you who have mouth problems, you ever heard about the foot and mouth disease that horses would have? Those of you who have mouth problems, do you know why you have mouth problems? Because you have a gift of the Spirit to talk. You have a gifted tongue and the devil is using it. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that when you give way to that urge to talk, that you submit to the devil's spirit that is a talking spirit, and you bar the prophecy that God would bring through you.
unshakable turn to James.
Can a fountain bring forth sweet water and bitter water at the same place? What verse in James it is now? Chapter 4, verse 12. 3. 3, okay. You know, it's such a long time I haven't read this. And the Spirit brings it to me right now. I hope I'm helping somebody. I just want you to come and lay your tongue before God and to God. Sanctify it. If I see you coming up here with your tongue hanging out, I know what it means. Praise God. Amen. Verse 6 says, let's go away up here. Verse, oh my goodness. Let's verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He said, behold, the ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever its governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. When you have an itching tongue, it's never from heaven. It's set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Wild beast. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Amen. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Lord, it's a terrible thing that Brother James is saying here. You know what he's saying? He's saying if you're a person that uses your tongue to destroy God's people and to talk against people and to slander, then your prophecy is no good. Glory to God, amen. I'm going to tell you why. You know, I don't think many preachers tell their congregation why as much as I do. I'm going to tell you why. We are sitting down here this morning, and the angels of God are in this building, and the saints of God are in this building, but devils are in this building also. And when you go out there, everything that you do, you're either submitting to a devil or rejecting him. Amen. Now, if you get up and say something that you don't mean, you hear me, brethren? You don't mean it. You're joking. And you say it. Immediately a devil steps forward. According to the laws under which he operates, and said,
You are mine because you said so and so. He doesn't care whether you meant it or not. Glory to God. This is the reason why we must not talk things that are contrary or derogatory or evil. For the moment you talk certain evil things, certain evil spirits claim you, and you have trouble with them afterwards. You didn't mean it, but the very thing starts following you. I used to make jokes with brethren, you know, and God tell me, stop it. Don't make any more jokes. If I ever make a joke with you, it's a serious joke. You ever made a serious joke? Poke someone in the side and say, you got to get rid of that fat brother. And you laugh, but you really mean it. That's a serious joke. Now, I am saying, because we are in this realm, because we are ministering to spirits, and spirits are ministering to us, you have to be careful of what you minister, of what you say, of what you do. Because the saints who are gone on before are depending on you to overcome certain devils which they did not overcome. Glory to God. And when you overcome these devils, there's great rejoicing and shouting in heaven. Hallelujah. You ever looked at a show and you see a certain situation, and you're just hoping that the man might escape from it or get the evil that is coming down on him. And when he wins, you shout, got him! You know it's only a show, but they know it's not a show. For every victory you win it for them. For they are out of the fight. Are you with me? Let me say that very slowly. They are out of the fight. You are the army, but you are fighting for them. So they rejoice in your victory, like when we send our boys over to fight in the last war. And when we heard that General Patton's army was knifing through Germany like a sword moving through, people rejoiced. It was in the headlines of the paper. Amen. He was heading for Berlin. When finally the Germans surrendered, man alive, I tell you, I was in New York. I was so shocked that I could only look through the window. I would never put my foot outside. I saw people go clean berserk out in the street with joy. See what I'm saying? We're talking about the angels, how they feel about you and your victories and your fight and your struggles and your sufferings. Talk about suffering for the body of Christ. You are called upon to suffer for the body of Christ. Did you know that? Some of the things you are going through is senseless. Why would God put me through this? I was a good girl. I did my best. It has nothing to do with you. God wants somebody to go through it because somebody needs a lesson, and God chose you. And you should rejoice. Thank you, God, for choosing me. Amen. The Jews didn't do anything wrong. They were the best nation that God could find. And God put their noses to the grindstone so that you might learn the lessons of God. He used a whole nation as an example. And there were some were stoned. A man commits certain sin. Imagine you make a sin of going out on the Sabbath day to pick up manna. and they stone you and kill you just to pick up food on the Sabbath day. Why did the man get killed? Because you needed the lesson that when you enter into the rest of God, when you enter into the Holy Ghost, it is death to walk out of the rest and start worrying. Are you there? Just that one lesson God had to teach you. Many Jews died for that lesson. Oh, glory to God. And so we go on. We're talking about the tongue, a member of destruction. The mind. Satan come, he wavers certain things before you. Why is Satan doing that? He wants you to think a certain way. When you think certain ways, you're not thinking like Jesus Christ. You're not thinking the mind of Christ. Satan is controlling your mind. Amen. I'm going to show you mind control. Come on now. You know what? She's thinking, what's he up to? Once I get her attention, I've got her. I move her. I start doing that. She starts there. Then I start. You know, she's wondering what's going on. I got her mind. I got her attention. This is what the devil does. He gets your mind. He gets your attention. And you're gone. You have to learn not to pay him any attention. You have to learn to turn your back and to turn your mind to Christ. The emotions, the will, the desires, battle realm, battle area. You are in a war, and you must see to it that these parts of your being are under Christ. I don't know how more to press this, but that tongue is a destructive weapon, and we need to chain the tongue. Why? Let's go over it. If you don't chain the tongue will cause satanic influences to take over other parts of your body. Amen? The more you function in the gifts of the Spirit, the more you form the fruits of the Spirit, the nature of Christ, and from the nature, the fruits are produced. Did you know that? Okay. I'm going to pray for Jennifer. What do I do first? Turn my heart to God. Oh, God. When I do that, you know what happens? I open my heart. If God's going to bless Jennifer, he's going to bless me. Come on now. You understand it? Once you pray a right prayer, if you're an intercessor, if God's given you the intercessory gift, then you... Every time you intercede for somebody, your heart has got to be pure towards the person. You remember the situation we had when we were praying for that one person, and all of a sudden God told us not to pray. Don't pray. Find out from the people you are praying with if they have anything against that person. When we found out, what we found? We found that some of the people were thinking that, well, you know, this person really got themselves in it. Do you ever see a brother and you feel in your heart, he's got it coming to him? Come on now. Try to figure it out. Right now, as I'm standing here before you, here's a brother that I would remember that I feel that way towards. Huh? Can you remember? He's got it coming to me. He's been doing this and he's been doing that and he won't take any telling. And it's coming. He's got it coming to him. Right? You know what happens then? what happens then is that you are not fit to pray for that person, because you have made a prejudgment. Whether you are right or wrong, you have got yourself into a position of prejudgment. Therefore, you are not of a clear heart and mind to pray for the brother. Now, if you're wise, if you're smart, you don't pray. When you pray a wrong prayer, you activate demon spirits. I let that soak down a while. Brother Charles, if I don't have love for you, if I don't have a clean heart towards you, I must not pray for you. If I ever feel that Brother Charles is not living right, he's doing wrong, and I put my knees down to pray for Brother Charles, the prayer cannot be accepted by God. Devils take the prayer and they go and try to prove to me that Brother Charles is wrong. And they hit you. So then, evil spirits can go out from the Christian. You want a scripture for that? Let me see all those who want a scripture for that. Uh-oh. I'm sorry I asked. Everybody wants. I'm going to quote a scripture. I'm not looking it up. You can look it up yourself. And an evil spirit went out from the Lord and troubled Saul. Did I get an amen for that? You remember the scripture? You remember when Saul sent for David to play the music for him? Saul was mad. And an evil spirit was troubling Saul. And the Bible said that an evil spirit from the Lord. Hallelujah. How can an evil spirit come from the Lord? Yes, you know why? Saul's cup was full. God withdrew his spirit of protection from Saul, and an evil spirit attacked him because God allowed it. If you think evil of anybody, the devil will be too happy to bring the evil that you think to pass upon the person. Some people cannot preach about evil spirits because they don't know about evil spirits. I can preach about evil spirits because I know about evil spirits. Amen. Praise be to God. And criticizing me on the point will not stop me from preaching when the Lord brings it to me. Amen. And send evil spirits if the church will not obey the Spirit of God. The church must, when you pray, God says, Matthew chapter 5, if you go to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, don't pray. Leave the prayer alone, he said. Go find your brother. Make it up with him. Submit yourself to him. Humble yourself before him to win him. Amen. You weren't wrong. You didn't do anything. Let me tell you, brother, it is the person who is the more righteous one that goes to the more unrighteous one.
Did you hear that? If you are righteous, if you're working according to God and you hear that somebody has something against you, you go to the person. Don't go, yes, I hear that you have something about me, against me. I want you to tell me right now what it is all about. That's not what God says. God says, humble yourself. Brother, if I've done anything that hurt you, I am sorry for it. I have no intention to hurt you. I don't desire to hurt you. And if I hurt you, I'm sorry. I want you to tell me what. And when he tells you, you found out that it wasn't something you did at all. You didn't do it. You know. You still apologize. Tell him you're sorry. You didn't do it, but you have no intention of hurting him. And keep on telling him till he believes it. You have won your brother. You know what you have done for him? You have taken him out of the pit of hell. Look, brother, Shadid. God sent you to bless the people. And every time you go to bless a person, when the devil sees that he can't get you, he tells the person something against you.
That's right. Amen.
To stop the blessing. Glory to God. Don't allow it to happen. Let us be workers of God. And even as Christ withstood the contradiction of sinners, let us be able not to defend ourselves in a world where everybody is putting up their own defense. But let us lay down our lives to win others for Christ and to break through where the devil's want to hold people as hostages. Amen. The hostage is generally innocent. Amen. The hostage is generally innocent. Never involved with the issues at all. But Satan catch him and hold him as a hostage. And he wants to kill him. Every soul that God sent me to preach to, the devil attacked the people. So the word go around now that anybody who listen to my priest didn't get attacked. So some keep away. Oh yeah. You ever heard that one? Well, you're not hearing. You might soon hear it. Brethren, Satan is on the war path. Let us declare war.
Amen.
Amen. We are not at peace with the devil. Get on a wartime footing. Operate as if you're at war. And use that which God has given you to overcome. Let's close by turning to 1 Corinthians 12. I mean, just close this part. For there's another part. This was a chapter God showed me when I was baptized with the Holy Ghost. 12. I was a sinner. I'd seen the evil people work, the Satanists. I'd seen men look you in the eye and tell you everything about your life from you were born right down to this moment and tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, you people believe that when a man come and prophesies a little prophecy that we see going on in the church, it must be God. It not always is God. You'd better have discernment of spirits. Do you know that a lot of you in here have discernment and you're not using it because you have it all choked up? You ever had something beautiful and good covered up in an old cupboard somewhere? Never. You have to take it out and dust it off to use it. Well, I want to see you functioning in the spirit that's working in you as from today. And I want you to function consciously, not unconsciously. Because you are functioning and you don't even know. You understand? God has a set of workers sitting in this room this evening that could turn your areas upside down by the power of God working in you. Every single one of you here is a worker. You've got gifts in the spirit. And you must stop calling it woman's intuition. And you must stop saying, my mind tell me so. And you must start believing that God not only tell you, but will tell you. But don't deceive yourself if your gift is choked up by the besetting sin which does so easily beset you. Don't trust it. Let me give you an idea. I could lie down. I am very, very blind in some ways. And I am very sharp in vision in other ways. And one of my greatest blessings is that where I am blind, Mavis is sharp. And I found that some of the things that I would be sharp in, she just don't see it at all, especially when it comes to the physical operation where I would see this and know to do that. She doesn't see, but she's sharp in discerning people. For instance, we got a telephone call one night and the brother said, I need so much money and I'm in trouble and I must have it now. And we didn't have the money, but probably we know where we could probably call some brother and ask him to lend it to take this brother out of the trouble. And she was sleeping and she jumped up out of her sleep and said, don't do it. And I felt so bad because I had told the brother I was going to do it. She said, don't do it, don't do it. She said, it get me way down if you don't do it. And I'm telling you, I felt so bad. And I really wondered if it was just her. Now this is a problem with you men. You don't trust the women enough and the Spirit of God in them. Most of the times the men are saying, oh, she's just emotional. Guys, you ever said that? You're ashamed to admit it, eh? You think it's the woman's emotion rather than God. And beloved, believe you me, I didn't do it because I have enough sense now. I don't feel it. I feel that she's wrong. But I didn't do it because I'm afraid. For every time she said, don't do so and so, I get in trouble, see. So I back off. And I was so confused that I didn't answer the brother. I didn't tell him. I don't know what to tell him. And brethren, I tell you, when I heard the situation, I thank God I didn't do that. See, it would be a lot of correcting that I'd have to correct if I had done it. And I really respect that gift of discernment that works in my wife and in other people too, you know. Now, Brother Rick and my wife work the same way. I'm just between them. If I say to him so and so, and he says, no, don't go, don't do it, I need not ask me if she's going to say the same thing. And I find out that God put people with you to help you from falling. Mm-hmm. You remember he tells us that two don't walk alone, one should not walk alone. This is why I don't believe in any one-man pastorage. One must walk alone, because if he falls and he walks with somebody else, the person will hold him up. And there's no if about it, brother. We are so deficient that it's not funny. As human beings, we are so deficient, you better believe it. We are so deficient that we should not do anything without checking it out.
with the people of God, with the body. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit moving among you. Some of you function in the gifts you don't know. Your mind just tell you so-and-so, you mention it to somebody, your partner, then it work out to be the same way. It's God working in you to bring to pass His glory. Let us begin to give God the glory.
Amen.
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 We can't be so dumb. So many years we're functioning with ourselves and we don't know what works yet. From what doesn't work, we should. You understand? We should know ourselves. Oh, glory to God. Amen. We should know ourselves. What works, how the Spirit works, when the Spirit works, when it's not the Spirit. Brethren, if you had a bad thought about a brother, and you have a dream about the brother doing some evil, forget it. Whether it be right or wrong, don't accept it. Amen? If your heart is right, if you love the person, and God give you a vision or a dream about the person, or you have a feeling, act upon it. Help the person, because it is God working in you to bring to pass that righteousness. If you won't do it, God's got to go to somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. We were Gentiles. I used to see this kind of discernment from the devil's side. I used to see people reading people's case like an open book. Amen. So I was skeptical about prophecy. Amen. He said, "No concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would have you not be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Does that mean that I am in the Spirit? No. Do you remember that devil said that Jesus is Lord? Therefore, that's not what this means. So then what does it mean? What's the meaning of it? I'll tell you. It means that to say Jesus is Lord is to have it working through you as a testimony. It's not saying with your mouth that this is talking about. No devil can have a testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
No devil can glorify God. So if you see a man glorifying God, if you see a man bringing forth Jesus Christ, if you see a person blessing you, then he's of God. Regardless of his other faults. Understand? Okay. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So that means that the gifts of the Spirit outlined here in the Bible are not all. The word diversities or diversities means many, many, many different methods, many ways of operation. Are you there? Do you know that if your emotions are well ordained, well in God, God moves in your emotions, that you can feel something. A person comes up to you and you actually feel the person. Person's spirit. What kind of spirit the person is of. You understand what I'm talking about? Your emotions respond to God. You feel like how God feels. Are you there?
Your mind can so respond to the Spirit that the Spirit of God can put in your mind the exact words, the exact thoughts, the exact feelings of Jesus. But be careful, because if your emotions, if your mind thinks evil, if you have a jealousy, I had a prophet one time who fell in love with a young man, and she got jealous, and the devil walked in on her, and all her prophecy was wrong after that moment. And the weirdest thing that happened is that she would prophesy just like she used to. She felt no different, but she was speaking lies. See, experience. You don't have to have all the experiences that I had. You only have to listen to me. And just take them and walk on them. Follow me? Your gift of the Spirit can be twisted, can be disfigured by something in you that's not right. Take for instance a person here with the gift of prophecy. Do you know that when you start prophesying first, you hit and miss? You get right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong. Like a baby trying to walk and stumbling. Amen? Don't be discouraged if you prophesied something wrong, brother. Don't be discouraged if you prophesied something wrong, sister. Because it is what is in you that is being purified. See, you're half pure, you're not fully pure, and therefore your prophecy is not fully pure. See, I think the end of this chapter. Look at chapter 13, and we go from verse 11 to 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You see, so we are getting better. The light of the just, the path of the just, help me, is as what? A shining light that shines more and more until we hit the point of the perfect day. You understand that? So don't expect to be, because I have the gift of prophecy, I'm going to prophesy everything just right down the line. No, sir. God said you wait upon it. Pray, oh God, purify me so that when I go into the meeting tonight, I can bring forth a pure word. Oh God, sanctify the gift in me. Forgive me of all my sins. You know what I mean? If somebody think that you do them a harm, you go to the person and say, brother, forgive me of all my sins. Did you ever hear that we had the power to forgive sins? That's the kind of sins you have the power to forgive. Somebody sin against you, that person forgive you. And God said, when the person forgive you, God forgive you. Here I do a wrong against a brother, and the brother is well hurt and wronged, and I go inside my cupboard and pray to God to ask him to forgive me. Do I get that forgiveness? Not until I go to the brother and ask him to forgive me. And when the brother forgive me, then God forgive me. So what ye shall bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you forgive on earth is forgiven in heaven. And that is in that dimension. Don't go around saying, "Oh, all you people in Bloomington, I forgive your sins." That's the kind of stupid understanding that some people have of the Word of God. Ha! Glory to God. Let's come down. We go back and we look at the gifts of the Spirit. But the gift, every gift in the Spirit must work for blessing, for upliftment, for deliverance. A gift cannot work to destroy. I've seen a brother get up in a meeting and put a curse upon another brother and tell him you're the son of Satan and whatever else. That's not our business. That's wrong. That's not of God. When you do that, you let go the devils on that brother. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work it, that one and the same Spirit divide into every man severally as he will. See, so every man, every human being, every child in God has the gift. Before you come into the Holy Ghost, you have the potential. Hallelujah. But after you come into the Holy Ghost, that potential is activated. But, see, I close my Bible. One but. If you don't open the faucet, what happened to the water in the pipe? It stopped flowing. Stopped flowing. The more you give out, the more you get in. And God, through the gifts, is forming a nature of holiness in you. Therefore, this is one way to form the holiness that God has put for you to attain to, is to do what God wants you to do. Use your gift the way God wants you to use it. Do you know that in giving a gift, you have to have a discernment? You can do harm and a disservice to God by giving the wrong person the gift. The way you use your money, you must have a discernment from God. What to do, what not to do, how to handle it, and how to behave. Praise God. This part of the service, I want to pray with some of us here. About how much time would we have left? Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to have to do this in 20 minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Brother Jerry, just come and sing a song for us. Hallelujah. Brother, yes?
Do you want scripture for the evil spirit from the Lord?
What scripture it was?
1 Samuel 16:14 and 18.
1 Samuel 16:14 and 18:10. Yes. Brother, Brotherly France, come up and help me pray with these brethren. Brother Wood, these two brothers, among many others of you here and some who are not here, are those who are called of God to be elders, not just in the local body, but in the body of Christ. The way you become an elder is by using the office of an elder and earning your degree.
You have to earn your degree as an elder before you become an elder. You have to be able to overcome yourself, control your own body. To control your own desires, to be ready to serve people, to give yourself, to give your life for people. And so, there are very few people who have really reached the standard of elders in the body of Christ. Elders in the local group are those who are older than the local group spiritually. Some people, God select them without their experience, so that they gain experience.